Harvest Christian Church. Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody online. Good morning, everybody here. We miss you folks online. We miss you so much. Come in so we can give you a hug. Apostles Bob and Linda are on a very well-deserved vacation, as are Prophet Susie and Don. And so today is going to be a very special day. A little more special than I realized. Because today, Mike and Val Greer will be sharing with us. Hallelujah. And the Lord has laid a very important message on Michael's heart. And so we are going to prepare through praise, and then we're going to transition into the Word, and then we're going to come back to transition back into worship and communion. So it's going to be really special. So if you're online, go and get your elements right now, because you're not going to want to miss a moment of this. Does everyone have their communion? If you don't have one, raise your hand. Gwen is really happy about running out and grabbing the communion and getting it in. Although we won't be doing it till the end, but I don't want to block the flow. So it will be good for everybody to be ready. So let's just prepare our hearts to receive. Lord God, we are so grateful for today. We are grateful for the opportunity to bring our hearts together, to stand as one, Father God, and to hear your voice, to receive the strategies that you have for us this day, Lord. We pray that everything that we do would honor you, every song that we sing, every word that's spoken, God. I love in the Word where you say that our unity blesses you. It blesses you like oil, warm oil poured down on the robes, Aaron's robes, all the way down to his feet. The commanded blessing that follows from your throne is amazing. It's incomprehensible. We can't comprehend it with our minds, but with the mind of Christ, we link together as one, Father God. And so we will start with that as one. We lift up our hands, God, and we say, in order to honor you, that we are one. Two, three, as one. One, two, three, as one. One, two, three, as one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Chase, hit it. There you go. That might be a little fast, but we'll catch up. Yeah. Come on. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise you in the valley, I praise you on the mountain, I praise you when I'm sure, I praise you when I'm doubting, I praise you when outnumbered, I praise you when surrounded. Cause praise is the water my enemies drowned in. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord. Oh, my soul, come on and praise the Lord. Oh, my soul, I praise you in the valley. You
praise when I feel it. I praise when I don't. I praise 'cause I know you're still in control. 'Cause I put you there, God. Praise is a weapon. It's more than a sound. My praise is a shout. Sovereign, I praise you 'cause you reign. I praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. I praise 'cause you're faithful. Praise 'cause you're true. I praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. I praise 'cause you're sovereign. Praise 'cause you reign. I praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. I praise 'cause you're faithful. Praise 'cause you're true.
Where there's
bounds of heaven. 'Cause the Lord of hosts is here with his army of the light. His eyes ablaze with passion for the children of the night. He's calling us as saints to take our weapons to the street.
The Lion of Judah roars.
We are possessing the land through prayer, praise, and power. Taking a stand with the Holy Ghost and power. And in the name of Jesus, the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, oh, we are possessing the land. Do whatever you want to. every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. This is where I lay it down. Every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. I will make room for you. Whatever you want to, do whatever you want to. I will make room for you. Do whatever you want to, do whatever you want to. Every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down. Every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender.
stay up there, or you want to come down and then come back?
We'll come down.
Okay, come on down. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord deserves to be praised every day, every night, in the midnight hour, at dawn break, at sunset, during lunchtime, at the dinner hour, when we're sick, when we're healthy, when we're poor, when we're rich, when we're exuberant, when we're down, it doesn't matter. He deserves praise at all times. Hallelujah. Hi, y'all. Y'all doing all right? You say that now. Yeah, we'll see. First of all, a couple of announcements. Chase, do you want the kids to be dismissed now? So the kids can be dismissed right now? And that would be awesome. Pour into them everything that you have. Because everything that you have is everything that they need. Christina, where you at, sweetheart? In the back. This Saturday at Connecting Point, Christina will be speaking. I don't know what she'll be speaking about, but whatever it is, it'll be awesome. And so make sure that the ladies turn out this Saturday to hear the word of God from Christina and have a time of wonderful fellowship. And I guess they eat food too. See, when the guys get together, we don't ever eat. But the women get together, they eat. They don't, and they don't have like grapes and stuff. They have hot food, you know. So you know, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Y'all ready?
Yes, sir.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
Are you positive?
Yes, sir.
You know I love you, right? I know Apostle Bob and Linda are watching. I told you, I don't. Whatever happens, happens. So. This Wednesday, we'll be starting a class. It's called the a Biblical Citizenship in Modern Day America. And it's a video class. We will not be teaching it. We'll be facilitating discussion at the most. And each video is about hour and 15, an hour and 20 minutes, something like that. It's an 8-week course. And so it starts on Wednesday. We'll be meeting in the multipurpose room every Wednesday for the next 8 weeks at 7 o'clock. Okay? And so I'm going to get into the details of what this class is about and why it's important for you to attend. Because the Word says that we're to be in the world, obviously, but not of the world. But while we're in the world, we have citizenship. And I'm speaking for anybody who's watching online. This is directly applicable to citizens of the United States, not anywhere else, because we'll be talking about our Constitution, that sort of thing. And whatever country you live in, you have your own Constitution, your own laws and whatnot. So this is directly applicable to U.S. citizens. Okay, and so we live in this life for Christ, but how do we live that out as far as our civic responsibilities are concerned? I've thought about this for decades, you know, because we don't get any clear indication, you know, or any obvious indication, I should say, in the Word with regard to what our civic responsibilities are. And so we need to discover what that is. All of the principles and whatnot are in the Word, but the Word doesn't speak directly to it, in my opinion, particularly with regard to a republic like ours. Okay, and what are, you know, back in the day there were kings and whatnot, and you did what the king said and so on and so forth. But that's not the case here, Okay, so we have a responsibility with regard to our civic duties, voting, and so on and so forth. And so what does this mean when we take it into consideration, when we take into consideration our godly citizenship, and how does that relate, okay, to our citizenship in the United States? And so that's what we're going to get into. But before I get into that, I want to clarify some stuff. You know, the walls have eyes and the ceilings have ears, and I hear things. I know stuff. And I know that sometimes when I preach, sometimes people wonder whether anybody has put me up to anything. I can assure you, nobody puts me up to anything. Anything that you hear that comes out of my lips, come out of my lips because I believe I've heard from the Holy Spirit to speak it to you. Not because anybody has put me up to anything. Because I know some of y'all think that. And that's not the case. So I just want to get that clear before I get into this. And you'll probably understand a little bit later on why I say that. If you have an issue with anything that I say, come to me. This isn't Apostle Bob. You come to me because this is coming out of my mouth. Are we clear? I don't want to hear any of this other mess with regard to, you know, I wonder where that came from. I'm telling you where it's coming from. I don't want to have any of that nonsense going on. So that's the point I wanted to clarify. But before I really get into it, I've already said it once, but I love you. And I don't say that just to say it. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, is not boastful, is not arrogant, is not rude, is not self-seeking, is not irritable, and does not keep a record of wrongs. That is the biblical definition of love. From that perspective, I love everybody in here. I want nothing but prosperity for you and your families. I don't want you to experience any harm or anything like that. But we all know that you discipline those that you love. See, the opposite of love isn't hate. The opposite of love is indifference. The opposite of love is apathy. You know, if you see a loved one doing something that you believe they are eventually going to get harmed by, you do everything within your power to get them to quit doing it. You tell them what they don't want to hear. Right? See, in today's definition, for you to love me, you have to love everything that I do. You have to love everything that I want to do. So if you're a drug dealer, if you're a drug user, if you're a drug addict, in today's definition of love, I have to support your addiction. I have to go get your drugs for you. Because if I don't, I'm a hater. Right? You don't love me. You won't get my drugs. You don't love me. How ridiculous is that? But that is the definition today. We can see people doing sinful things, living sinful lives. And if we call them on it, we're a hater. No. This is the ultimate expression of love. I'm expressing my love to you because I don't want you to continue down this road. But we've got it twisted. So as a manifestation of love, I owe you the truth. no matter how difficult it may be. I owe you the truth. I am compelled to tell you the truth. Not because I hate you. If you're online, not because I hate you. And you're probably going to disagree with some things I'm going to say. But I say it from a position of love. Because I believe that some of these behaviors are destructive. And you aren't going to like the result. And I don't want blood on my hands. Let's go to Hosea 4, 1 through 6. And the word of God says, hear the word of the Lord. Now, Hosea is talking to the Israelites, and they're involved in all kind of mess. Hear the word of the Lord, people of Israel, for the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of this land. The Lord has a case against the, think of a courtroom. The Lord has evidence against you. There is no truth, no faithful love, and no knowledge of God in the land. Cursing, lying, murder, stealing, and adultery are rampant. One act of bloodshed follows another. For this reason, the land mourns, and everyone who lives in it languishes. Not only that, along with the wild animals and birds of the sky, even the fish of the sea disappear. The land calls out, the land cries out, the people are languishing, and oh my God, even the animals are suffering. All because of the behavior in the land. Everybody's hurting. But let no one dispute, let no one argue. For my case is against you, priests. This is why I am compelled to do what I am doing, because anybody who stands in the pulpit is essentially representing God before the people. And so if the people are acting funky, he says, my case is with you priests. In this case, his case would be with me. This ain't no joke. He says, you, referring to the priest, will stumble by day. The prophet will also stumble with you by night, and I will destroy your mother. Not you, mom. This is referring to the country. I will destroy your country because you priests aren't doing your job. Because look at the people. They wilding. They going crazy. And not only that, you with them. You doing the same thing. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge or revelation. Lack of knowledge. There's a lack of knowledge because the teacher isn't teaching. He's too busy carousing with everybody else. And the result is the people have no knowledge. The Lord entrusted the priests with the word, but the priests aren't dispensing the word. It could be because of fear. They don't want to, you know, upset the apple cart. Because you have rejected knowledge, referring to the priests, I will reject you from serving as my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your sons. People, when anybody steps into the pulpit, respect them because they may not know it, but they're putting their life on the line. See, they're on the hook for accurately representing God. Now, anybody who stands in a pulpit is an imperfect vessel. So you have imperfect vessels trying to deliver a perfect word. It ain't easy. Because you have to filter everything through, you know, your own prism. You say, okay, is this the word of God or is this me? Is this the word of God or is this me? You have to make sure that what you're saying, you can back up in the word. So if anybody disagrees with me on anything I'm saying, then come to me with the backup of the word. Don't come to me with your opinion. Okay? If I'm coming across angry, it's because I am. I'm angry at what I see in the body of Christ. I'm angry at how I see people reacting to certain situations. I'm angry at the misrepresentation of the kingdom of God. And we got to get this straight. Let's go to Revelation 3, 6 through 8. There was a time when I was terrified of Revelation. And that time isn't too long ago either. But as I start to understand it more, my fear of it started to rescind. But I'm still a little afraid of it. When I heard a loud voice from the throne, look, God's dwelling is with humanity and he will live with them. They will be his people and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more because of the previous things have passed away. Hallelujah. To me, that is the definition of paradise. No pain, no crying, no sorrow. Just joy unspeakable. Oh my God, that is awesome. But there are conditions. See, a lot of times people gravitate towards that and they ignore the conditions. Then the one seated on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. Now, for those who don't know, this is God talking to John. He's telling John, write this stuff down. Look, I'm making everything new. He also said, write, because these words are faithful and true. Then he said to me being John, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will freely give to the thirsty from the spring of the water of life. Verse 8. But the cowards, the faithless, the detestable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars. It doesn't qualify lying. It doesn't say little white lies or great big lies. It says all liars. Their share will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Now, notice the pecking order of this thing. Okay? If we were to put it there, we would put murderers at top. You know, maybe rapists next or whatever. Not the Lord. The first thing he says is the cowards. He's saying the cowards got no place in this. He doesn't even put the unbelievers before the cowards. He puts the cowards first. Now, could people be considered unbelievers, those that believe in the Lord, but they were too afraid to express their belief and they cowered before the culture. And cowardice put them in the faithlessness category. So cowards go first. You see, cowardice and courage have one thing in common. They both require fear. See, a courageous person isn't a person that has no fear. That's not a courageous person. A courageous person is one that has fear but does it anyway. That's a courageous person. A coward is a person that has fear but succumbs to the fear. In both cases, there's fear. In one case, they overcome. They're the courageous. In the other case, they succumb. They're the cowards. Everybody stand up. Repeat after me. While recognizing that fear exists, I am not a coward. While recognizing that fear exists, I am not a coward. While recognizing that fear exists, I am not a coward. Hallelujah. You are not a coward. I don't care what the culture says. I don't care if everybody in the room says one thing but it's wrong. You and God are in the majority. You have to have the courage to stand alone. You have to have the courage to be the voice in the desert. You have to have the courage to be the voice when everybody's screaming and hollering at you. I am not a coward. You need to tell yourself that all the time. I am not a coward. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. We're going to go to Romans chapter 1, and we're going to go down to verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to anyone who believes, first to the Jew, then also to the Greek or the Gentile. For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. For God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all godlessness and unrighteousness of people who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. We are living in a day when there is a ton of truth suppression. You see, it says, who by their unrighteousness will suppress the truth. Now, I don't know and I don't care what your opinion is about COVID and the vaccine or anything like that. That's irrelevant to me. But you can't look at what transpired and not recognize how the truth was being suppressed. You had our government in cahoots with social media platforms to deplatform and to silence people who had an opposing viewpoint. How did they do it? They labeled it as misinformation. See, but if you label something as misinformation, that implies that you have the right information. Or else, how can it be misinformation? You see, but this was being done from a nefarious perspective. They weren't being honest, and they knew they weren't being honest. These were not honest mistakes. These were dishonest directives. They knew what they were doing. People aren't stupid. And you had a bunch of Americans falling for it on both sides of the issue. Remember, we war not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. But we were training our swords and arrows on each other. That's how we responded. That's what we did. You're saying, well, they're shooting at me. I'm going to shoot back at them. If you hit them, you're hitting the wrong target. Because the target was the puppeteer, not the puppet.
Come on. Come on. Yes. Yes.
You know, we got to get our aim straight. We don't shoot at people. We shoot at the power and principalities that are controlling those people. Who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth, since what can be known by God is evident among them. See, they're denying God, but his presence is evident among them. So the word is saying that they know that his presence is there. They're just choosing to discard it. And it says, since what can be known by about God is evident among them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world. Nature witnesses God. If you look at a map of the universe, of the galaxy, and you see the sun, and you see the planets, you see the earth, how does the earth orbit the sun in the exact same manner every year? How does the earth spin on its axis the way it does? How do we have the seasons every year? People say, well, that's nature. I say, well, who authors nature? Nature has to have a boss. Who's the boss of nature? See, creation is witnessing God. Creation is testifying to God, about God. The question is, does anybody or do people answer? The question is, you know, see, if you subscribe to this, then you also have to subscribe to other things. And it's the other things that people don't want to subscribe to. See, it's the things that God preaches and teaches, his prophets and his oracles and whatnot, to tell the people and instruct them how to live. That's what people don't want to hear. So they'll say, I don't believe in God. Yes, you do. But you can't admit it because then you would have to follow through on this other stuff. For his invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, being understood through what he has made. As a result, what? People are without excuse. So what does this mean? What this means is you could drop a baby in the middle of an island of the South Pacific. No Bible, no talking to anybody, no anything. And eventually that baby will recognize that God exists. Because nature is witnessing to that child. So there's no excuse. This isn't me talking, that's what the word says. Being understood through what he has made, as a result, people are without excuse. For though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God or show gratitude. Instead, their thinking became worthless, and their senseless hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. Claiming to be wise, they became idiots. And so we see today a lot of idiots walking around. Because they've denied God. Everything is witnessing to them and they've denied it. And the word says, and they know it.
All right,
now. You don't have to convince them of it. The word says they know it. They just don't want you putting it in their face. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for the images resembling mortal man, birds, four-footed animals, reptiles. In other words, idolatry. Now, for the most part, we don't do that today, but substitute that for science. Substitute that for the wisdom of man. Those are all idols. Substitute that for whatever culture you come from. And exchange the glory of the immortal God for black culture. Still love me? Exchange the glory of the immortal God for medical science. And exchange the glory of the immortal God for feminism. Put in whatever you want to put in. People put that over the glory of the immortal God. Therefore, God delivered them over to their to the desires of their heart. And so God said, okay. That's how you feel about me? Okay. You know, sometimes you got to let people have what they want. Sometimes you got to say, have at it. I've done what I can do. You want to do it anyway? Go for it. Therefore, God delivered them over to the desires of their heart, to sexual impurity, so that their bodies were degraded among themselves. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served what is created instead of the Creator, who is praised forever. They worship the created thing instead of the Creator. For this reason, God delivered them over to disgraceful passions. Their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. Yeah, I said it because that's what the word says. Oh, and it gets better. Verse 27, the men in the same way also left natural relations with women and were inflamed in their lust for one another. And it says, men committed shameless acts with men and received in their own persons the appropriate penalty for their error. Men committed shameless acts with men and received in their own persons the appropriate penalty for their error. Men committed shameless acts with men and received in their own persons, in their own bodies, the appropriate penalty for their error. Need I say more? And because they did not think it worthwhile to acknowledge God, God delivered them over to a corrupt mind, so that they would do what is not right. They are filled with all unrighteousness, evil, greed, and wickedness. They are full of envy, murder, quarrels, deceits, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, arrogant, proud, boastful, inventors of evil. They found new ways to be evil. They got creative with their evil. Disobedient to parents, senseless, untrustworthy, unloving, and unmerciful. Although they know God's just sentence, those who practice such things deserve to die. They not only do them, but get this, but even applaud others who practice them. It says they not only do them, they celebrate others who practice them. Now, this is referring to the Romans. What does this sound like? Does that sound like here? They not only do them, but they applaud those who practice them. You got everybody coming out of the closet expressing their sexual preference. And they get applauded. They get celebrated. There's no shame. Applauded. You know, you got people applauding and pushing for graphic illustrations of sexual acts in elementary school books. And they do it under the guise of educating and protecting the other. That's nothing but straight up perversion. That's not protecting anything. Those kids are too young to really even appreciate what is in those books. Why are you doing that? And I don't care if we're talking about homosexual or heterosexual sex. None of that belongs in elementary schools. So you can't call me a hater unless I hate all kind of sex. And Lord knows that ain't the truth. I mean, it's just absolutely ludicrous. It is ludicrous because we have thought about things and thought we're so wise in so many ways, we become dumber than dumb. We become dumb. You know, sometimes the word says things in mysteries and you got to figure it out. Other times, it's just telling you flat out straight. Not, you don't got to figure out nothing here. This is what I'm telling you. Come on. Where are we at? In Genesis 1:28, God blessed them, man and woman, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. In other words, he's given us a territory to tame. Yes. The Lord is saying, look, I created this earth, but it's wild. And man, I created you to tend to my garden. The United States is a part of his garden. And his sons and daughters are to tend to it. So when it gets out of whack, the gardener's got to come in and clean out the weeds. That's our job. If that's our job, then maybe we need to find another contractor because we ain't been doing our job. We must do something. Now, before I get into this, I got to tackle an elephant in the room. You love me? To my African-American brothers and sisters, let me talk to you for a second. In this class, we're going to get into the documents of American freedom, the Declaration of Independence, Constitution, Bill of Rights. But there are some disturbances beneath the surface. Declaration of Independence was signed by 56 guys. I showed you a picture, 56 white guys. Okay. Estimates, 25 to 30% of them were slave owners. The majority were not. And you had some radical Quaker abolitionists that were fervent. And so when we bring up things of a constitutional nature, a lot of times some black folks will try to dismiss it. Because it says, well, you know, that's all there by white guys. That's 200 years ago, 250 years ago. It has nothing to do with me today. Use that as a means to dismiss what is written in the documents in order to do things against what is written in the documents in order to achieve a goal. Because those goals can't be achieved if the documents are being enforced. So, if you examine the Declaration of Independence, which I've done, and you read it, my overriding thought was, how can this be written by man? Because they sourced that content from the Word. The themes in the document, in the Declaration of Independence, come directly from the Bible. And it's sprinkled with their experience, because they studied history too, with regard to governments in the past and failed governments and so on and so forth. But if you read it, you cannot conclude anything other than this was, had to be inspired. There had to be divine inspiration here. So let me ask you a question. Most of us, if not everybody in here, is a confessing Christian. Is that true? Have any of you ever sinned? Has anybody not sinned last week? We're still in the morning. Has anybody not sinned today? You see, if we can be disqualified from anything that we say or do to elevate the kingdom of God because we have sinned, there would be zero elevation of the kingdom of God. See, perfect works are executed by imperfect people. So if you expect God to extend you grace and mercy, then we have to do the same thing. And the Word says, examine the fruit. So in this case, examine the documents and come to your own conclusion. So I'm not looking at them as men, I'm looking at their fruit. And I say, wow. You know, because whatever you seek, you'll find. If you seek a reason to not do something, you will find a reason. If you seek a reason to do something, you will find a reason. You will seek whatever you find in order to satisfy your desire. You see? Unless you're honest with yourself, then you won't do that. And so, one of the things that comes across in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution is that these men were very, very leery of man, and with good reason. So they did the best that they could do to write protections in these documents for future generations, because they knew what the situation would be. And so it's not that the documents are insufficient to cover the sins of slavery. They are sufficient. Is that some of the people, you know, in the South in particular, did not view the slaves as human. So if you don't view people as human, then they can be removed from the coverage of what's in the documents. But once you recognize their humanity, then they come under the protection of the documents. So the documents are there. The documents are complete. They don't need anything else. It's just the way man has identified who's eligible and who isn't. And those are the things that had to be corrected 100, 150 years, 200 years later. Let me ask you a question. Does melanin define your essence? But how come we act like it does? The essence of who you are, does melanin define that? But we certainly act that way. We identify ourselves that way. Does not God define your essence? Black, white, Asian, purple, yellow, green? Does not God define your essence? The Bible makes four distinctions in humanity: male, female, Jew, Gentile. That's it. And later on, even that changes, even that reduces. In Galatians 3:27, for those of you who were baptized into Christ, have been clothed with Christ, there is no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female, since you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs to the promise. There's no distinction being made in the word. Yet we've anointed subdivisions. You see, we have subdivisions of race, nationality, ethnicity, sex, so on and so forth. And so we've subdivided humanity. When the word says we are one, we've subdivided it, and we've made identifications based on the subdivisions. And from those subdivisions come cultures. And these cultures people place above kingdom culture. There's an African-American cultural expectation, pressure, if you will, to vote Democrat. I'm going to come hard now. There's a pressure in the African American community to vote Democrat. People say you shouldn't talk about politics. And boy, hey, I've been to churches, they talk about politics, so I'm going to talk about politics. The current status of the Democratic leadership is under demonic influence. You just got to open your eyes and see it. See, the people don't want to see it. They don't want to see it for cultural reasons. They don't want to see it for social justice reasons. They don't want to see it because they think they're getting something from it. They put the G in government over the G in God. And so they're looking at this situation and thinking that that's my salvation. That's my solution. Open your eyes. Who is behind these books in the elementary schools? Who is trying to force you to refer to a man as a woman. Who is doing this? Ultimately, it's Satan. But who are his minions? And you've got a lot of people that are absolutely sincere in what they believe in. And I'm not coming at those people. I'm not. I'm coming at the leadership and the direction of what's going on. You see, you have people that think that, okay, if you don't do this, you ain't black. Had Joe Biden say, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. Have a white man define for me what being black is. If you don't vote for me, you ain't black. The nerve came out of his mouth. I saw it. You know, but we'll ignore that because we think that we're getting something else. I could get into the origins of this back in the 64 Civil Rights Act, but I don't have the time to do that. Many Democratic platform planks are openly hostile to biblical principles. And that hostility is expanding. See, folks thought that when they got, you know, the Marriage Rights Act, and that'd be cool and all, but it kept going. It kept going. It kept expanding and kept expanding and kept expanding. Now we're solidly in the region of perversion. All because they're trying to solidify subdivisions in order to support them politically. They know, they being the leadership, they know what they're doing is ridiculous. But if they garner more support, that's what the border is all about. You let people in so that you can cultivate and harvest future voters. At the expense of the taxpayers. That's what it's about. Church, black church, white church, Chinese church, Israeli church, I don't care what church. We have got to unify under a kingdom banner because a divided army cannot win. It cannot win. We cannot be subservient to culture. We cannot be afraid of being called a Tom. We cannot be afraid of being called a turncoat, a sellout. Oh, you're going to call me Uncle Tom? You're going to call me a sellout? Let me sit you down and let me tell you why you're the Tom. Let me tell you why you're the sellout. You want to get in an argument with me? Let's go. These people have been selling promises for 60 years. 90% of the black vote has gone to Democrats for 60 years. Yet the complaints are the same. See, when you create an organization to address a complaint or issue like a union or something like that, for that organization to be successful, they have to put themselves out of a job. For them to be successful, they have to eliminate the thing that has been terrorizing their members. But they eliminate that thing, they're longer needed. And so the organization becomes self-surviving. And so that organization has to create things in order to keep it viable. So there's incentive to keep the oppression going that they claim is keeping them under. They call that a conflict of interest. So I say I'm interested in your liberty and freedom, but if you get liberty and freedom, then I no longer have a job. See? And so we have a lot of these organizations searching for relevancy. NAACP is one of them. Searching for relevancy. Because when you had tangible targets, that's one thing. But once those get accomplished, now what do? Am I coming too hard?
No.
You sure? Okay. Introduction to biblical citizenship. The word says we have to engage until he returns. In Luke 19 says, therefore, he said, a nobleman, this is a parable from Jesus, a nobleman traveled to a far country to receive himself authority to be king and then return. He called 10 of his servants, gave 10 minas, and told them, engage in business until I come back. Now, this is a parable of Jesus. He's referring essentially to himself. Engage in business until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we don't want this man to rule over us. And then in verse 20 to 22, it says, and another came and said, Master, here's your mina. I have kept it safe in a cloth because I was afraid of you since you're a harsh man. You collect what you didn't deposit, reap what you didn't sow. And so the other two, they returned. He gave them 5 minas. They returned 5 minas, so he gave them 5 talents to lord over. Another gave him 10. He returned 10. Another 10, he gave him 10 talents to lord over. This one said, I ain't do nothing because you're a harsh man. I didn't want to mess with your stuff. And he says, he told him, I will condemn you by what you have said, you evil servant. So he's saying, since you have done nothing with what I gave you, since you didn't watch over what I gave you, since you were lazy with what I gave you, I condemn you. The Lord has handed over to us a land or a country that we were free to do things in. We had to get some things straight, absolutely. But as we see the direction with regard to the way things are going now, what will the Lord say to us? And this is a little aside. In verse 29, it says, but the king says, but bring here these enemies of mine who did not want me to rule over them and slaughter them in my presence. Now, this is Jesus essentially referring to himself. When we think of Jesus, we think of love and you know, those ones that denied me, that didn't want me to run, bring them here. I got something for them. He says, I got something for them, not you. The word says, what? Vengeance be mine. See, our problem is we want to see it. We want to take part of it. We want to have a hand in it. But the Lord says, no, I got this. And then sometimes we want to say, are you sure you got this, Lord? Are you sure I can't at least see, peek at it? You know, can I at least, you know, throw a marble or something? People being destroyed by a lack of knowledge doesn't only apply to the Lord. It applies to our system of government. And so we have an ignorance about our founding documents. We have an ignorance about the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. A lot of places, you know, this should be high school civics. It's not being taught. And for a lot of us, we took high school civics, ooh, man, long time ago. And so we probably forgot 98% of what we learned in there, assuming we learned anything. And so what we're going to do with the course is give you a refresher of what's in these documents. Why? So that you know what your rights are. See, you can't recognize when somebody's trying to erode your rights if you don't know what they are in the first place. So you have to know what your inalienable rights are as defined by the Constitution. And then you can see when they're being taken away. See, then you can catch what the politicians are doing because they are dependent on your ignorance. Yes, yes. See, and once you find out and discover and whatnot, then you got to start teaching other people. You got to teach people what is in the documents. They have to know so that they don't just trust what people are telling them. You see, we need to be Bereans. The Bereans search the scripture to tell them. Now, here's the thing about the Bereans, because it says they searched the scripture to find out what was true or whatnot. The Bereans didn't have Bibles. The New Testament hadn't been written. So they discovered Jesus from the Old Testament scriptures. See, we have the benefit of the New Testament. That didn't exist with the Bereans. They didn't have no internet. So they would go to the synagogue, search the scriptures and the scripts, discuss it amongst men and whatnot. And then for the purpose of not just getting knowledge, and the word says what happens when they went through this process, it says, and then they believed. See, so the purpose of searching the scriptures and doing it so that it increases your belief. See, when you discover things for yourself, it hits differently than when somebody else is telling you something. But to discover something from yourself, you can't be lazy. You have to search the word with a clean slate. You have to read stuff in context, not cherry pick the word to rationalize and justify what you want to do. Val, come up here. Val's going to tell you some of her experiences with the class. Oh, it's not on. There you go.
So this week, nature witnessed to me at my home. I was sitting in our kitchen area and I heard a ruckus in the lake. It was loud, water everywhere. It was an eagle landing on our dock. He was fighting with the ducks in the water. That's where all the water was coming from. And so from that message, because I've been trying to dodge being behind this microphone this morning, the Lord told me to quit being a chicken and become an eagle. So I recognize the fear exists that I am not a coward. So I love, love, love my country. I love the United States of America. And being a black woman that says that, sometimes that, if you say it in the wrong places, people call you a Tom, or they say you're not black enough, or what's wrong with you? So 2 Corinthians 3:12 says, so then with this amazing hope living within us, we step out in freedom and boldness to speak the truth. So don't lose your voice, because I almost wanted to lose mine this morning and not be behind this microphone. So as I was preparing for this, do you know that 77% of Americans self-censor themselves? So we get in these hard places and we don't say what we really think. We just lose our voice. So it's time to get off the bench and get onto the field. So I was born here. I was born in the United States of America, just like you were. We were born here. And God doesn't make a mistake. So I was thinking about all the places I could have been born. I could have been born in Africa and have to go look for clean water every day, right? I could have been born in the Philippines, and our sweet Arlene, she takes her money to go and buy little kids' shoes over there because they can't afford them. But the Lord placed me here, and not only did he place me here, but I was actually born in Washington, D.C. That's my birthplace. And I think that's what, why I love my country so much. So when I think about my family, I had two grandfathers that served in the military when it was hard to be a black person in the United States. My dad served in the military. He served in the Navy. My father-in-law that's sitting here, he served. I had two great uncles that served that were at Pearl Harbor when it got bombed. And I had two uncles that served. And one was, that was his career. He was a military career person. So when I thought about this, where I was born in D.C., I thought about, think about that. That's seven black men just in my life that served their country when it was hard to be a black man in the U.S. And yes, I have another uncle who was one of the first men to graduate from West Point. A black man that graduated from West Point. So he and my father-in-law are both 95 now, and I talked to Uncle Clifford last night and asked him about how it was to be a black man. He said it was 1947 when he was doing this. And he said that except for a couple of times, he didn't feel racism. And you know why? Because a divided army cannot win. So they all needed each other. So fast forward, I decide to go serve my country, and I end up downtown at the TCF building in 2020. And I looked around and I saw some things I could not unsee. This was not the United States that I knew. So I thought, not on my watch, just like my grandfather, my dad, my uncles, not on my watch. So what could I do? What can I do to take my nation back? So I started out with a group of people. Some of you are in here. And we started a prayer thing. And then the prayer thing grew to gathering like-minded people and creating a community. And we met at my home just so we would all have a place where we knew that we could be together as an army. So then, last year, Apostle Bob and Linda announced this Constitution class, and I thought, that's for me, because I don't know what it says. I have, like Mike said, it was a while ago since I took civics. So I'm here to encourage you to join us. The things I took from the class were one thing that Mike said, we need to know it, we need to read it. We need to know it, we need to study it, we need to be able to teach it. We need to be able to teach it to our children. Because I did not want to hand over the U.S. the way it's going to my kids and my grandkids, and I know you don't either. So we can all do something. We can all do something. So I want you to think about it. Like, repurpose your life. If you're still here and breathing, there's something you can do to help take back our nation. It could be teaching your grandchild about what you learned in Constitution class. It could be just coming to the Constitution class. So, duty is ours, the results are God's, and that was written by John Quincy Adams. You'll learn that in the Constitution class. So, a few weeks ago, Apostle Bob read us this line from The Gladiator, so I'm gonna read it to you. He said, believe. Whatever comes out of these gates, we have a better chance of survival if we work together. Do you understand? If we stay together, we survive. Yes. Thank you.
Can the worship team come back up? So we have to decide what it is we want to do with this gift that the Lord has given us. And I'm not just talking about the country, I'm talking about our lives. You know, I really love the three movies of The Godfather. Michael, come here, Michael. The Godfather is the best movie that has ever been created. In Godfather 2 or 3, I can't remember which one it is. Michael goes down to Cuba to get summoned by an old Jewish guy, gangster, amongst other gangsters, because they've decided they're going to recreate Las Vegas in Havana. And to do this, they're asking each one of the gangsters to bring seed money. I think it's $2 million or something like that, in order to start building the hotels and so on and so forth. So Michael is out at night and he's going back to the hotel or something. This is in the early 60s, and so he witnesses the Cuban unrest in the streets. And he sees protesters and this, that, and all that. He's in the cab being driven and stops, and he sees one guy in front of a bunch of soldiers. They're arguing back and forth, and then the guy blows himself up and takes some of the soldiers with him. So Michael goes to the meeting with who is in real life Mayor Lansky, but he goes to the meeting, and the reason I know that is because I studied mafioso and crime and punishment and all that and massacres and murders. I don't know. Anyway, he goes to the meeting and the old guy asks him, Michael, where's the money? And so Michael says, I was coming from dinner or whatever last night and I witnessed something. The old guy says, what'd you witness? He says, well, I witnessed this rebel, you know, in front of the soldiers hollering back and forth, and he killed himself. He blew himself up along with several of the soldiers. And the old guy says, okay, well, he's like, well, okay, great. Come on, let's go. What'd you learn? Michael says, what that taught me was that they can win. He says, they can win. He says, yeah. He says, the guy that blew himself up was committed. He was willing to kill himself to take the soldiers with him. The soldiers are paid. They don't have the same commitment. The Lord has given us this free gift called salvation. But he says, I want you to kill yourself. Not physically. Not with a gun. Not going in the bathtub and taking a knife to your wrist. He's saying, I want you to die to self. So you say, well, what does that mean? He says, I want you to kill your selfish ambition. He says, I want you to live for me, not for you. He says, I want you to spread my word, teach my word. I don't want to withhold good things from you. Just don't put them over me. See, because you cannot defeat a dead man. Because people are afraid of pain and getting killed, but if they're already dead, then there's nothing you can do to them. The word says in order to gain life, you have to lose life. Lose your life, gain my life. What do we gain? The word says everlasting joy. The word says no pain. The word says no suffering. The word says this is eternal. God says, can you, on a temporary basis, limit the little that you know for the little benefit that you think you can get for these eternal treasures? The Lord says, can you do that? So then the question becomes, do you believe it? That's the litmus test. That's where the rubber meets the road. Do you believe that the word says what God means? That's what it comes down to. If you believe it, all these things that stand in the way go away. Everything. It always comes down to trust and belief. Do you trust and do you believe the word? That's what it comes down to. Because if you do that and you see all that you're eligible for, you'll put up with the obstacles in life as we know it. You'll handle them. You'll view those things as slight afflictions. If you believe. Now, I'm talking to you, but I'm really talking to me. Because we all have this struggle, this tug of war. And we got to self-correct. We got to get ourselves back in alignment. When Michael witnessed that guy blowing up, the soldiers and himself, and he says the conclusion was that they can win. We can win. Matter of fact, the word says we do win. The question is when? Because it doesn't look very bright. And are we willing to fight a fight and die before we see the results? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to trust God post-death that you will be taken care of? That's the question. That's the question. But while we're here, we've got a job. Our country is literally going to hell. And we have to rescue it from the grips of the enemy. Amen.
We cried out for him to break down the walls of all our tradition, to get us out from under the slavery of religion. And we've heard the truth. Now, I will never be the same again. I can never return. I've closed the door. I will walk the path. I'll run the race. And I will never be the same again. I will never be the same again. I can never return. To do, Lord, do in me. The glory of God fills my life, and I will never be the same.
glorify your name. Fall like fire, soak like rain, flow like mighty waters again and again. Sweep away the darkness, burn away the chaff. To do, Lord, do in me. The glory of God fills my life, and I will never be the same again. No, I will never be the same again. Of what you've done in us, God, by your blood and by your body. Great in all the earth are you, and all your beauty, great in everything you do. Made the heavens and the earth with your words spoken. You made this heart inside me pure. All praise to you who made the sun, the moon, the stars that shine. All praise to you, the God, the one who saves my life.
Yeah.
in all of you. I stand in all of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in all of you. I stand in all of you.
This holy place of surrender and commitment. Lord, we take very seriously what you've put before us. This word, this food that you placed before us, this truth that you've placed before us, this truth of Jesus. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the truth. Lord, we prepare our hearts to receive this truth of Jesus. We apply right now, God. We take this bread and this representation. Yes, sit for a moment, please. This representation, Lord. This representation. You said, take this, whenever you come together, take this in remembrance of me. And Lord, I believe that the transition that you wanted us to receive, the fullness that you wanted us to receive, the unity that you wanted us to receive, is about receiving your mind, the mind of Christ. So, Father, we receive the fullness of what you did through the body and through the blood. Isaiah and 1 Peter say that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. I quote that often when I'm thinking of healing, and rightly so. And we do take this in remembrance of what was done, and there are some amazing parallels to the number of stripes and the number of diseases. There are some amazing truths to be received by faith. But we can truly only receive them when this bread and this blood transitions us from our own thinking to the mind of Christ. And therein we find our unity. Not in my thought processes and your thought processes and us coming together, but by the word. By the word. So I'm going to read, and I want you to feel free to take the bread and the wine at the point that you feel led. We are doing this together. I'm going to take mine now, and then I'm going to be declaring some things over us about applying the body and the blood of Jesus to the renewal of our mind. This is life to my body. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And this representation, oh Lord Jesus, this representation of your, what you endured for us, for our healing, and what you endured for us that we might be washed of all sin. You took upon you all of our sin. We were crucified with you, and we are raised together with you, and we take this together as one. And by faith, as we eat your flesh and drink your blood, it is so that we will have the mind of Christ. We engage in the body and the blood of Jesus, and we embrace the transforming power of the mind of Christ contained within it. Oh, by faith we receive, God. We engage the record contained in the light, sound, and frequency of God's consciousness for the renewal of our mind back to its eternal condition. We embrace the record of dimensions of the kingdom released in the mind of Christ by the thoughts of God to renew, to rewire, and to restore our brains to right thinking. Do that work, God. We say yes. We engage your thoughts, God, and apply them to our mind for health and wholeness, to break and remove all negative neural pathways linked to our conscience. We speak to the marrow of our body and command it to be a new source of blood that will renew and rewire the cells of our brain so that we can think like a son of God. We apply the frequency of God's thoughts resonating in the truth, to transform our minds into the mind of Christ by removing all lies and breaking all strongholds. We command every neural pathway attached to negative memories and ungodly behaviors to be broken, and new neural pathways aligned to truth to be formed. We apply the blood of Jesus to all negative and impure memories, and we break all connections to sin and to trauma. I want us to say this line together. It is, I'll say it first and then we'll say it together. Mind and thinking be renewed. Ready? Mind and thinking be renewed. Amen. We apply the blood of Jesus to all negative images within our imagination and all negative belief systems within our reason center. Now we're going to say, mind be cleansed. Mind be cleansed. We call our mind to resonate with the thoughts of God contained within the mind of Christ, and we come into alignment and agreement with an eternal perspective. We choose that our brains and mind be conformed to the likeness of our Father and brother in heaven to release the creative capacity of sonship. Yes. Let the word of God be breathed into our mind, unlocking its true capacity and releasing supernatural abilities in God. That's the starting place for the signs and the wonders and the miracles. That's the starting place for the effectiveness that God wants us to have in this world. So, Father, we receive the mind of Christ. We see it anew, God, and we thank you for it. We thank you for the full work of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, 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 yes. In closing, I just want to encourage you, why should you attend this class? You should attend to get educated on how our government is supposed to work so that you can recognize when you're being deceived. You should attend so that you can clarify in your own mind what your individual rights are. And you should attend so that you can learn what you can do individually to reverse the current direction of our country. See, because we just don't get information just to get it. We get information to arm us for action. And so there will be several things presented that you can do on your level, wherever you are, in order to change the direction of this thing. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for these people, Lord. Father, I thank you. I ask that you watch over them and bless them on their way home or to lunch or wherever it is they're going. Father, I ask that you anoint their conversation with Holy Ghost wisdom and advice. No foolishness, no stupidity. Father, for we want to recognize and we want to example you out there in the earth so that our behavior and our conversation will be so different from anything that people are used to. They'll wonder, where are you from? What you talking about? Hallelujah. Be blessed, my people. Amen.